honorable members, good morning officials from the Department of Justice. I think we have to start. Before we start, can we observe the moment of silence for prayer? Thank you very much. Honorable members, I think we all have an agenda in front of us. Is it possible to adopt the agenda? Is anyone can as it is, or is anyone who proposed additional or whatever? Thank you. Thank you very much. Agenda is moved by Honorable Hoshi Tobijan. Are there any apologies?
Yes, sir. Honorable Mohapi, Honorable Engelbrecht, Honorable Manapoli, apologize.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You are welcome, Department of Justice. We've got those four items in front of us. The first item, we expecting to be briefed by the Department of Justice on review and revised draft rules of 2016, submitted to the Parliament on the 10th of February 2016, rules of procedure for application to court in terms of the promotion of access to information, which is Act Number 2 of 2000. I think let's introduce first ourselves before you introduce Deputy Chief State Law Advisor, your team. My name is Dumisani Timbi, Permanent Delegate from the Western Cape, Chairperson of this committee, which is Security and Justice. Thank you, we'll do the same. I'll check your question.
Permanent Delegate in the NCOP, serving this committee. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Morgan Chetty, a permanent delegate from KZN.
Good morning. My name is George Mkhlakis, permanent delegate from the Free State.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to everybody. My name is Tabi Sowan, a permanent delegate from the Eastern Cape.
Thank you very much. We are coming by our support staff, secretary, researcher, and official there. Can I hand over to you, advocate, that you can introduce your team?
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Raj Dayam with the Rules Board, and I head the secretariat. I'm accompanied by Lumisani David Necker, who's also a senior member within the Rules Board Secretariat, and then I've got Paul Farlam SC, who serves on our board and heads this committee that deals with PAJA and PAYA. And we're indebted to the chairperson and the honorable committee members for allowing us an opportunity to present this briefing. As members would know, Chairperson, that the National Assembly, through its standing committee, has approved this particular draft rules. The previous rules of PAJA were approved both by the National Assembly as also the National Council of Provinces, and this seems to be the last approval that is outstanding relating to the PAYA rule amendments, which to a large degree has not been substantially amended, but the members present, Mr. Necker, will take us through the background and bring us up to speed, and then if needs be, Advocate Farlam will deal with the technical amendments that took place so that members might be able to pick up what were the main amendments that the board recently affected that gave effect to what we are presenting. We'll keep it as brief as possible, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks very much, Chairperson and the members. Good morning to you. Basically, these rules, the the PAYA, we call them the PAYA rules of procedure. They are an amendment to the current rules that are in operation. The idea behind them is to clean them up a little bit, to bring forth some changes that were necessitated by some court pronouncements. For instance, like in the Bruma judgment, Bruma versus Minister of Social Development, it was a judgment in 2009, Constitutional Court judgment that said now the time for to launch this type of an application should be within at least within 180 days of a refusal of a request for information, and then also to provide some for some condonation if someone falls foul of that 180 days. Whereas initially the time frame for that was 30 days. So this has been now been so the rules are now taking care of some of these types of things. Like for instance, rule 2 now also bracket 3 also now also states that this types of application it reinforces the judgment as well as the amendments that were subsequently made to the act itself, the PAYA. That it brings them now in par with those. These changes bring those changes into force. And then also the other aspect, like for instance, these rules now, what they do, the changes that are done now here, it depends where a person is launching the rules. If it's in the High Court, then the rules of procedure in the High Court are gonna be followed. If it's in the merge court, same applies, that rule 55 is gonna be applicable. You follow the rule 55 mechanism in the magistrate court instead of these rules. Now initially the rules were giving a long winded kind of a procedure, whereby even a form that you have to follow these types of, you have to give a notice and response. You know, they were creating their own sort of mechanisms. So now it has been simplified that it just depends on which court you go to. It's you just follow the rules of that particular court. And it takes away things, you know, anachronisms like for instance, the 8 kilometer rule is now extended to 15 kilometer rules. It's no longer in the. Initially, the rules provided for 8 kilometer rule. Like if you are a respondent, they have to give an address within 8 kilometer radius. So now this has been changed. Like it has also done away with the request for court fees in the forms that you have to pay some court fees and then. You know, the revenue stamps and stuff like that, because this also takes care of, because the payment through revenue stamps has been abolished since about 2009. So the rules are also now bringing those types of developments into speed. We clean them up in that way. So the process that was followed was the committee that drafted the rules, and then they sent them to various role players for comments. We have a broad base of role players, both users of the rules and ordinary, you know, and organizations, non-government NGOs and stuff like that. So people in the profession, the law societies, we send them to various role players for comments. Then we received comments from some role players like SAHA, the South African History Association, with different people, and then we again redrafted the rules based on the comments that were received. And then we refine them, we fine-tune them again, then we send them for them to see that we have adopted their changes. Then so there was a second draft again, so they commented on that again. Then the PAYA rules committee also now effected whatever changes that came from the second round of comments, And then eventually it was finalized, the board adopted the rules. The whole process started around 2014. But the board finally approved the rules, and then they were sent to the Office of the Chief State Law Advisors, who also recommended some changes. For instance, they recommended that we put definitions of High Court rules and Magistrate Court rules. So those were put in the definition sections, and then some definitions were taken out of the which were previously existed in the old rules, in the existing rules. They have been taken out, so that the rules, we just keep the rules very simple, straightforward and simple. There's also a portion that deals with the representations if they're done ex parte. Those representations can be brought now under an affidavit or an affirmation. You can either do a sworn statement or do an affirmation. So also, this takes care of the religious beliefs of various people. That it's not only some people do have objections to swearing, to taking an oath. So instead, they can just affirm. So the rules now take care of those things. I think that one is in rule is provided for in rule 4, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just check. Rule 3. It's ex parte representations are in rule 4. So they are taking care of that. That also is also. In fact, this also is aligning up with the. There was a Broma judgment. The MNG, Mail and Guardian judgment versus the President of the Republic of South Africa of 2013. So this brings. These changes also brings. Whatever the pronouncement of that judgment are also now taken care of in these rules, but the essence of the everything is that the rules now have been simplified. They are also now they are almost like the revised PAJA rules, whereby the main thing is that now the procedure that is followed in the High Court or in the Match Court is now being followed as well. We just keep it clean so that we don't confuse the rule, the users of the rules. Thank you, Chairperson. I think Advocate Falam will just say.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Nneki was very comprehensive. I'll just then summarize probably just a couple of minutes. The reason for the change of the rule really was threefold. The first then was to address comments or problems identified in constitutional court judgments. The second was to update the rules to reflect the fact that there's now a magistrate's court rule which deals with court process, and so it's no longer necessary to set out a particular process in the rules. The third is then to deal with anachronisms such as the court fees and things like that. And then perhaps if there were a fourth one which overlaps with the second one, is to make it more user-friendly and to make it simpler and to avoid the chances of people taking technical objections, and so therefore to make it simpler and to afford access to justice. If I can just concretize what Mr. Nneki said committee members, if you look at page 10, you'll see the previous rules. Page 10 of your pack shows you the previous rules, and pages 15 and following, really page 16, look at are the new rules. And so by just give you a couple of examples, if you can keep both page 11 and both page 17 open, if you look at rule 2 on page 11, it only has two subsections or two sub-rules, 1 and 2, whereas on pages 16 and 17, there's now a third rule, sub-rule, which gives 180 days to bring it, and that is in line with the Constitutional Court judgment. So that's been added in, as I say, to give effect to that. Then if you're looking on page 11.3, rule 3 is applications, and you'll see it goes all the way through to page 13. It's quite long and complicated, setting out a procedure for things, for how you bring it. Compare that with page 17, a much simpler, more streamlined rule, which says you use the High Court rules, as Mr. Nneki said, or the new Magistrates Court rules. So this then makes it less likely that someone's going to use the wrong form, makes it more familiar to the courts, more familiar to litigants. Then on page 13, there's a rule for representations. Compare that with page 18, ex parte representations. As Mr. Necky said, there's now been a thing for sworn affirmation, which is obviously something that would be required by the Constitution and right of religious freedom. Then also there's unless directed by the court, and we've just tried to clarify that and streamline that in the light of a constitutional court judgment, which identified perhaps a lack of clarity in the initial rule. Then on page 14, there's rule 5, court fees. You'll see that has disappeared on page 18. That is because court fees have been done away with because of the problems that they occasioned. So you can see it's really quite narrow, quite lawyerly amendments, but they do have a fundamental underlying purpose of addressing constitutional problems and hopefully facilitating access to justice. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Colleague, is there any other addition? Don't want to add, Advocate?
Chair, we've dealt with the briefing in its current form, and we are available for any questions of clarity. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
for that. Honourable members, are there any questions of clarity from this briefing from the Department of Justice?
Chair, also for the guidance of the committee members, the current rules are in operation, unlike the challenges that we had with the PAJA rules that have only recently been approved, and then there will be a date that it will get into operation. So the current PAJA rules are fully functional. They haven't been challenged constitutionally. They might have been criticized in certain aspects, but from a constitutional perspective, there's nothing unconstitutional about the current rules. So it's happening. Citizens have access to them. Institutions have access to them. And the purpose of having to revise the rules arose out of the reasons put forward by the members that address the committee, so as to just deal with certain technical aspects. I just thought I wanted to make that point.
Thank you very much. Honourable members? Honourable Khoshi Tolijan.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the briefing by the department. Chair, it is encouraging to realize that our departments are compliant to the court judgments. And I think that's what we need to do in particular justice. It should serve as an exemplary. And I think, like I'm saying, it's encouraging to realize that are taking the court decisions very high. Maybe the point that Chair one have to, you know, give to them is that it is not always an ideal for us taking, you know, presentations from departments and relied on the technocrat and believe that they've got an indoor knowledge of what they are expected to do, and found ourselves, you know, wanting on the other footing in terms of, you know, judgments that are always coming against us together with the departments. As much as Chair, we are the final arbiters to say, yes, we agreed with the presentation and briefing by departments. They should always bear in mind that we take that in good faith and we believe in what they're telling us. So it becomes imperative that one Department of Justice in particular making presentations to Parliament, it should bear in mind the integrity of Parliament itself, that it doesn't go well for us when in turn we are unable to convince the judiciary in buying what they make us to do. And I think I'm saying this because, Chair, I want to believe that the amendment that they're bringing to us for consideration into this rules, they will not be expose us like it has happened. We will be able, moving forward, to enjoy the comfort of justice when they are presiding over cases of this nature. I do know, Chair, that this piece of legislation, it has got historical background why we insisted on having a PAJA as a South African, parliament. We draw a lesson from where we come from, that the state should not be seen using unfair, discriminations to deny people access to information. And I'm sure you would know that when you debate this amendment, Chair, it won't be an easy thing for one not to bring into, conscious awareness of South Africans that when we pass that thing that were called in a derogatory name, that is one state has got the right to declare, to classify particular information. So when you deal with this, the separation, the line between the two becomes very thin, and it then reminds the South Africans that, by the way, there was this other parallel which in the lives of many South Africans has been seen to be counter to this particular piece of legislation I'm talking about. But I guess I'm doing this because I would wanted us to broaden our eyes and our thinking when we deliberate on these things, and so that we don't leave any possible contradictions without being noticed. Because if you don't talk to them, tomorrow somebody raise it as if you have never been aware that there are elements of possible perception of contradictions in between the two pieces of legislation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Even myself, later, we appreciate the presenter briefing. As much as this thing is repealed and come to this far, Advocate, I'm just raising my personal conflicted opinions in the terms of court fees, because in my own analysis, South Africans can be very much lawless. But if the issue of paying for information was never been scrapped, I would be very happy, because outside, even in the superpower, if you look for information, you pay for it. And to me, it would be another way of the state having raised a sort of money for whatever reason can come up. I am not happy about this scraping of court fees, because it can give the courts a lawlessness where even GKG will come unruly looking for the information. And my second question, how secured is that information in terms of not compromising the state of the court, the status of that particular argument in a particular case? Those are two issues that I wanted to raise. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable. Can you comment?
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Chair, thank you. May I just also deal with the first committee members' points, just in terms of the question of, you know, sort of the reassurance that this committee has addressed potential constitutional problems. I think I can provide the reassurance, and one of the reasons is that the Rules Board is fortunate to have two senior judges on its panel, Judge Majid and Judge Vanamere, but there are also two magistrates, and there's an academic, and then there's some practitioners, and then the Department of Justice has, in this particular context, looked at the Constitutional Court judgments and drawn them to our attention. So we've been very careful, and as I said, it's been a wide spectrum of people who've looked at it, and we've tried to ensure, and I think we have, I think we can confidently say we have made sure that we've addressed any constitutional challenges, because we are very alive to the point made by the Honourable Member that we need to make sure that we do comply with judgments and that we do not expose anyone to constitutional challenge. Dealing with the point raised by the second point raised by the second committee member, first of all, fees and paying, I think one must draw the distinction between the application for information where you pay fees. So if you're asking for information in terms of PIA, you have to pay a fee in terms of the Act. Then there's now the second question is the person you've asked has refused the information. Now you want to go to court. Then there's the question of must you pay a fee to lodge a document with the court. And the general rule for court matters then is no, for two reasons. First of all, you don't want to deny people access to court. So there's a poor person and they say, I can't afford the 100 rand or whatever to go to court. You've got a right of access to court. You must allow that. And then secondly, there was the problem of how you collect it and how it was paid. But that's a bigger issue really for the courts as a whole. If court fees were to come back generally, then they would come back for these things. But they're not here. But as I said, you do have to pay for information the first time. The second thing is how secure is the information. If the information is sought from the state or anybody, there are various grounds on which you can refuse information, one of which, for example, it will compromise security, it will compromise economic interests or commercial confidentiality. And then that will be a ground for refusing information. The person can then apply and try and unpick that, but the information won't be made available if it is. Then there's a question, of course, there's ex parte representations, and that's a provision in Rule 4, which is where, for example, if there is secretive information, it can be dealt with in a way that is sensitive and protects the interests of the court while still ensuring that the judge can look at it. And so if someone's hiding some information they shouldn't, the judge can look at it and then bring it out. But if it is truly confidential, the judge then will refuse information, but it won't then be leaked to the public. So the question raised by the committee member, that's actually addressed by Rule 4, we hope, as well as we can. Thank you.
Maybe to add to that, or just a little bit on the aspect of the court fees, as you have rightfully said, the ones that the rules here we have amended is the one on the second portion, whereby now it's no longer like maybe paying fees for the information sought itself, but now when you're bringing this or launching the application in court, it was initially dealt with under Rule 5 of the current of the existing rules, which say that it is subject to the payment of court fees. The court fees that are being talked about in the current rules are the court fees that traditionally used to be paid through by revenue stamps. In the High Court, it used to be about 80 rands revenue stamps. In the Mesh Court, it used to be 20 rands revenue stamps. Now, in both courts, in the High Court and in the Magistrate Court, we just use the term court fees. It's a technicality, but it refers to those fees that were being paid for through the means of revenue stamps. That's the ones that are being taken off from the rules, so that we because the rules now are being, you know, the are referring to if one wants to apply in terms of these rules now, you go by way of the applicable High Court or Magistrate Court rules, and in both those courts, the the fees have been taken off, the payment by revenue stamps have been taken off. I was just elucidating the aspect of the it's not the one that relates to the when you're still asking for that information. It's now when you're launching the court proceedings. So the in both courts the revenue payment by revenue stamps have been scrapped because of the amendments to the applicable stamp duties act, which was done in 2009. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chairperson, if I could just add, the concerns that was faced by the state when the Revenue Stamps Act was repealed was twofold. One was the issue of, are we denying people access to justice, that they must first pay 20 Rand or 80 Rand before they can approach a court for assistance? The second issue is the nightmare of theft of revenue stamps. It's got a value, and there have been documented cases where court officials were using the revenue stamps and turning that whole process into a cash-paying private business. And it's not a secret. There are many people that have been found guilty of that practice. And because the court system couldn't control the way in which that procedure was being run, it looked at those two aspects in repealing the act dealing with revenue stamps. That also by way of background for the members.
Thank you. Arnold, one?
No, as I was explaining, that it was my personal opinion in terms of as a country trying to make some income of some sort. I was not saying it's wrong that it has been scraped off. I was looking at our communities and the discipline. But now you're explaining the discipline of our own officials. So both things are at some stage, they frustrate, because when you got the officials that are not consciously committed to the cause, you experience problems. When you've got the communities who are not proud to be South Africans, still you are spilling a problem, because there would be a result of lawlessness within the processes that sought to uplift the image of the country.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Advocate. But I would like to ask Honorable George to send a vote of thanks on behalf of the department.
Thank you, Chairperson. Well, on behalf of the committee, I can just say thank you very much for the presentation. We always appreciate having the department coming through, and we also appreciate the fact that I made the joke with the department to be brief just before we started, and they kept to their promise. But we really appreciate the great presentation and wish you well with the process ahead. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. I think we can release you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gorilla. Chair, may I express...
I'm sorry. Forget something here. Before you leave, we need to consider this report. Rishan, and members get the copies. Yes. I think before we... The presence is advanced. No, we can release you. We can do it as a comment.
Chair, may I just express my appreciation for the committee secretary, Mr. Dixon, and the support he gives us in facilitating the process. I just want to place that on record. It's always a pleasure the way in which is which he assists us. I just wanted to note that.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, I think can we consider this report? Of this, having considered the subject of the revised draft rules 2016, submitted to Parliament on the 10th February 2016, rules of procedure for application to court in terms of the promotion of access to the information, which is Act number 2 of 2000, which is referred to it. Reports that it has agreed to the revised draft rules without proposing further amendments. Is there any supporter of this adoption or consideration? Everyone?
Chairperson, I rise and move the support of the amendment.
Thank you very much.
Seconder? Honourable Toby James seconded. Thank you very much, honourable members. Can we just proceed without wasting?
Come again, sir. You're supposed to ask if there's
a dissenting
view. I'm not going to teach you how
to share. Okay. Honourable members,
let not bore you. Honourable members, I don't want to. Let's go to item number. Item number 3, consideration and adoption of the fourth term program. Can you take us through Secretary?
Yes, Chairperson. We drafted the program as requested by the House Chairperson, and we discussed it amongst the committee secretaries, Chairperson, in conjunction with the Chairperson's approvals. And let me just take you through it. From the 12th of October, it's really just a briefing by the Magistrates Commission to deal with the progress on provision of suspended magistrates. And then there'll be preliminary oversight visits to the Eastern Cape the following week, 17 to 21 October. 26 October, Chairperson, we would like to undertake an oversight visit to the Paulsmoor Maximum Security Prison as it came out of the meeting with DCS. It won't be affecting Select Committee on petitions, so we can actually leave straight after their meeting. Paulsmoor is not too far from Parliament. And then the 2nd of November, it's the SAPS and the Civilian Secretariat, and it's just the briefing on their professionalism and service delivery. And then the 8th of November, we swapped with COCTA because the minister indicated she's not able to come on Wednesday because of prior engagements with cabinet. So we decided to swap to the Tuesday, so hopefully she can attend that meeting. And then we do have the proposed international study to a Chairperson. We have submitted the application the first week of August already, when the House Chair was in office. We then again submitted a reminder through your office, Chairperson, to ask for comment on that, but we haven't received any word yet from the House Chairperson. If that is not approved, Chair, then the 22nd of November, we've scheduled an oversight visit to Air Force Base Langebaan, and we have discussed with the COCTA Secretary, Petition Secretary, to request that we get the whole day, because it's a two-hour drive to the base and obviously a two-hour drive back to Cape Town. And then the session ends on that week of the 30th, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm willing to have a meeting with the Chair of Chairs and the WIP about this overseas trip, because we proposed
the...
Come again?
Who's the Chair of Chairs?
House Chairperson, yes. Yeah, because we proposed this as a committee a long time ago, and we reapply again. Then I want to know, because we have to speak to those people in Mexico and all those places before time, and it's not easy to get visa. There's a long thing that we have to do. Then myself and Honorable Wana will try to meet you and we'll come back to the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. That was one of the things that I would have suggested. I appreciate that you dealt with it before I could raise it. I think really at this stage it is, I'm starting to ask a few questions, how certain committees can get their things approved very easily, and we have to wait for 2 months to get ours approved, and then there's no guarantee, and it doesn't lie on an administrative level. We've got excellent people supporting this committee. It lies at a political level. So I'm glad that you're going to take that up with him. If I may just point out one thing, and that is on the 26th of October, the site visit to Paulsmoor Prison. I see that there's a welcoming from the department for 15 minutes, and then just under 2 hours briefing by the department. Now, the department sort of already gave us a quick briefing here in the committee. Without sounding disrespectful, I'm sort of tired of documents and briefings in that way. We saw, I called it waffle that day, it's exactly what we received. I don't want another 2 hours of a briefing that is not even a proper briefing. I don't want to waste my time like that. My suggestion would be, if we go and do a site visit, we've received more than enough briefing, that we limit it. So the department can also limit their waffle to half an hour or so. But I mean, if we want to do a site visit, let's go and see the place and see as much of it as we possibly can and come back. We've already received the briefing, but then we can have a session with them with questions or something like that. But I mean, just to receive a watered down briefing for 2 hours, I don't think my patients can take that.
Thank you, Honourable Member. You're quite right. Because we had briefing here, and we said we didn't have a chance to ask questions from them, and we agreed that we let's go and have oversight in this, and then go back and ask questions what we received and what we saw. We see. Thank you very much for that. I think that I don't think this is. Come again.
I was saying, Chairperson, let's do things differently, because they are used that we are going to sit there. The while we are sitting there, they are shoving other issues that we should have been seeing if we go straight to the site.
That's fine. I agree on that. I don't think that. Yes, one of
them. Thank you, Chair. I don't know whether can I be assisted with the program.
Oh,
you don't
have a program. Sorry.
No, you can
wait,
Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. Other members, can you bring us
inside? I just wanted to share with Russia, Chair, on the week of study tour. What internal arrangements amongst the three? Is it one committee or combine, activities of other committees in this regard? Or, yeah, I just and then yeah, I'm sure if he can ascertain us as to what.
I think we agreed in one meeting that it must be one committee because we have given 5 years, then another committee and another committee, then it is one committee, and if go for another place. We are not combining the committee in one.
No, of course you are unfat again, but you can head it.
So that's a separate one.
We'll be charged.
Yes, Chairperson, there was another meeting where members requested that we look at what can be done in terms of aligning the program to the other committee. So I have asked the content advisors of the other committees to draft up what they would be able to see in Mexico and Colombia, but I haven't received any word back from them.
Thank you.
John?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to know, if my memory serves me correct, it would initially have been Colombia and Brazil. Why did it change from Colombia and Brazil to Colombia and Mexico? If I can just get clarity on that.
Chairperson, we received a correspondence from the Department of Foreign Affairs, specifically from the Brazil mission, and they indicated that because the president was being impeached at that time, that and we belong to the BRICS coalition, they didn't want any of parliament's committees to come over because they advised that it might be construed that we are supporting the impeachment of the president and supporting the opposition call for that impeachment. So based on that advice,
there's something we can learn from Brazil.
Yeah.
So we should have been.
How do you impeach a president? I did raise the country called Vietnam here. Thanks that you know come on going to
Brazil.
Chairperson, I wanted to understand, maybe Dixon will clarify, we are committee of three chairpersons. My understanding is that if it's a study to outside the country, the committee must stand alone because there's a budget attached to that. The thing is here, we as committee, when I was in the Eastern Cape, we knew the budget of a committee. I did raise this first 2014 up to date. We are not aware of what is our budget as the committee.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very fraudulent of it.
Yeah, no, thanks, Chair. Chair, of course, I think I will, of course, support Honorable One on this question because it was raised collectively by the committee. Of course, that as chairpersons, we need to know the budgets of the committee, and that lies within your power, as the management disclosure. If it's not disclosed, then meaning there's something else. But yeah, Chair, I just want for the interest sake, because we were told, I think during the president address, we were advised that we must also look at the African continent, whether there's nothing that can we learn from there. And in terms of this situation or the conditions currently, it informs you that even if you apply for going to African countries, can be simply granted for that. I'm just asking whether it's not possible for us to be flexible and look at another countries there in Africa that they have our can I be protected?
But
it's intimidating me.
Okay, continue.
Yeah. Yeah, Chair. I wanted to know because yes, there's so much that we can learn in terms of military veterans in Africa. There's so much that we can learn in terms of your civil policy, public order in Africa. There's so much. I don't know, you'll go to countries like, I just want to make a typical example, Chair. Of course, crime are not the same. They vary. But in terms of our focus and our objective, we wanted to get more in terms of public safety and military veteran. So I just wanted to, I'm not saying we must alter what we have. Just want to know from your own view, is it not possible for us to be flexible, have the alternative if they don't want to agree for us to go to Europe, have an alternative around the African countries. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Chair, all due respect, I think we must be more
in the meetings and out of the meetings, I realized this matter was discussed previously as well. We all know about it. Honorable Koshi, even in your committee petition, we discussed the story when we came to the India tour as well. We went through all of those. And then the last of the proposal came in was these were the two. We just heard before this, it was even supposed to be in Brazil and Mexico. And then it was changed. So I'm saying, we're already having a problem in the House, where the House chairperson is not approving this committee's, or in fact, this cluster's overseas trips. Yet finance and every other cluster seems to be going abroad. So we managed to get this here now. 2 months later, still not yet approved. You go back and do one change to this. They'll come back and tell you, you've now changed it. It goes back on the back burner. For future, I'm saying, yes, we can consider that when it comes to petitions and when it comes to COCTA. But for now, chairperson, I'm saying, can we leave this as it is? It's at that stage where it is. And if you can speak to the House chairperson to try and expedite it, it would be appreciated.
Thank you. Thank
you, chairperson. I want to second JT and I want to second Mhlanga, because what is taking place, once I was in Kigali, in terms of crime, in Kigali a person, in terms of food, the family still to finish. The state doesn't support 3 meals in a prisoner. As a result, if you go to Kigali, the issue of crime is very, very low. Secondly, I want us, chairpersons of this, to separate the program of Africa for next year, because it's going to close. Then this year, we still build, because that was not fair when we were ready to go to India for the sake of Hoshi. Everything was in place. And until up to date, there's no apparent clear reason why we didn't take that trip. Because, as I want to repeat it, these things have been budgeted in each and every committee. Thanks.
Chair, I think I'm glad that we're not in consistence with our own decisions. We are sticking to our decisions that we've taken. But I wanted to talk to the week of the 19th and 27th, there is a provision that in case we don't get authority, then on the 22nd we'll do domestic work, which is include Paul Small and what have you. I was going to suggest that we don't do two things in 1 week. Instead, we take this small, small thing as a program that we need to do, and it comes to the week of the 30th, the date of the 30th, so that we do, and we also include in education, if it's possible, the possible consideration of the report coming from the state in that particular area. I'm saying this because if we also apply and give an indication that we are flexible,
yes.
If you don't accept,
yes.
We don't mind, we will do another way. It creates an uncertainty into our positions and the decision as a committee. So we need to be firm and say, this is what we want. You don't do, it disrupts the program of the committee.
Chairperson, just for clarity, will the program then, as it is here for the 22nd, move down to next year, and we continue with Paul. Do I understand it correctly?
What I'm trying to say, is if you look at the week of the 1927,
yeah.
It includes in it the date of the following the program, which is the 22nd.
Yeah.
It falls within the 1927. Now I'm saying, instead of having two programs in 1 week, we stick to the study tour. Then we take the 22 tentative program to the 30th. Then the ones that are on the 30th, you can see the adoption and whatever. So we also add the adoption of the program and then the report from the study.
Okay, so the 22nd then moves,
yes.
To the 30th.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Hoshi. Thank you very much, honorable members. And I would like to also to honorable Mhlanga, you know, I agree with what you're saying. next year, because it's just for this year, we agreed that next year we can maybe look for the African state where we can visit.
Sure.
But now let's stick to our, for instance, if I can say the Indian trip is still stand. We didn't change for
the
that.
Racial convention.
Yeah, still stand.
In India.
So, thank you. George, can you please?
Yes, Chairperson, sorry. I'm just now seeing that I'm going to take you slightly back again to the proposal by Honourable Hoshi. If we move the program of the 22nd to the 30th, we're not going to be able to continue throughout the afternoon because there are plenaries scheduled for that week. Mm-hmm. So it's going to become a bit of a problem. Can't we perhaps move the Langebaan visit to the first possible visit in the new year then? Because I mean, it doesn't help. We go there and we're there for an hour. It's a 2 hour drive. If we go there, then we should have an entire day to spend. So I would suggest that we move it to the. But then we shouldn't let it disappear in the because it's the new year. It must be our first visit on our schedule.
Thank you, Honourable Member.
Thank you so much.
Can we proceed with our program consideration and adoption of minutes?
Can I then, Chair, move for the adoption of the fourth term program with the amendment as discussed by him?
Thank you very much. Is there any seconder? Honourable John.
Chairperson, sorry, I would just like to propose an amendment to this in the light of Hoshi's intervention just now, that if the proposed international study tour to Mexico and Colombia doesn't take place, that we have a special training session for chairpersons in that week. Thank you.
The amendment. All right, is there any seconder? Are you seconded?
Thank you very much.
Now, the first minute is on the 18th of May 2016, page 1.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, page 1, going on page 2. I'm going to actually rely on Mr. Dixon's assistance in this regard. But I'm sure that I've noted an apology on behalf of Mr. Chetty. I'm not quite sure. It says he was just absent. I can't think that I did not, if he wasn't there, didn't note an apology. If we can just perhaps change the word absent to apology, please.
Thank you.
Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5, page 6, and 7. Thank you. Is there any proposal? Honorable Tobijan.
Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes as a true reflection of one chance by the
minute. Thank you very much, Sabana. Honorable Wanna.
Chairperson, I move the second minute of this minute.
Thank you very much. Another set of minutes of the 24th of August 2016. Page 1, page 2, and page 3. Is there any move on this one? Honorable George? Honorable Chetty seconded. Thank you very much. Honourable members, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Thanks a lot.
So, yeah, we need to get Mr.
Yes, let's meet in the afternoon, guys.
Okay.
I know. Please, I should thank no one.
Go.
Right. This one.